So hello everyone and welcome to what was formerly known as the Earful Podcast, now known as the Veritycast. We've had a bit of a rebrand, you know, the last few months, it feels like weeks, you know, days just rolling into the other, has caused us to have a lot of time to think about what we're doing, what direction we want to take the podcast and what direction we want to take the brand, etc. And this podcast is basically... We want to have conversations that inspire with people who are trying to develop themselves, become better, and make the most of life, you know. And we want to try and, you know, get information from people and get their insights into how they're living and what they're doing and how we can use it. Because I know for me, that's what podcasts are for me. And without further ado, our first guest is business owner and health and wellness enthusiast and my friend, Scott Reid, who I met through, it was the Man Cave, that's when we first met.
Many months ago, yeah.
Yeah, so actually, let's actually just start with that, because that whole weekend was a bit of an experience in itself. I don't know if we, you know, we were doing the cold water stuff at Chatelet Row and at various areas, some more local. I don't know if we actually met before we went away the weekend, which was, you know, pretty intense for... especially folk who hadn't had a lot of experience with, you know, cold in a big group, you know, it was pretty, I mean, 3-4 times a day sometimes we were in.
I know.
How was that weekend for you? What did you learn for that experience?
Well, firstly, Kieran, thanks for having us on and thanks to everybody for listening. It's a privilege being on and hopefully I can share some of my story and my journey over the last year or so where I went through a big transformation. But just touching on that point, it's quite daunting when you're going away for a weekend with a group of guys, and for the first time in my career, there's been no booze involved. And you know what? The cold water stuff wasn't something we'd done a lot of, as you say, but 3-4 times a day, and I must admit, every time you've done it, it get better, it get easier, and there was real benefits to it. By the end of the weekend, we were kind of acclimatised to it, and we were climbing Corbett's, we were doing group activities like earthing, things that totally outside the comfort zone.
Totally outside the norm, you know what I mean? Bare feet on the freezing cold ground.
Well, and as a male, if some of your mates could see you back home and you were at that weekend, they'd be thinking, what the hell is he, what's he doing?
But I'm pretty sure we've been in that mindset at points in our life, you know? You maybe look at folk like that and think, what's going on here? Like, but you don't understand it, and it's hard to even explain it. Like, you need to just do it. You need to let go of your ego. You need to, like, you know, go with the flow in a sense. But when you do try these things and reflect back on it, you're like, I'm so thankful that I actually, you know, bit the bullet. I went against the grain. I done it, and I got a lot from the experience.
Certainly. Ego is the biggest thing that stops us, because we always think, what will such and such think of me, or fear of being judged, or fear of putting yourself out there. It all just translates back to our beliefs. And that's exactly that weekend. Was it went totally against the grain, like you say? Let the rule book get flung out the window. And it was probably, it's one of the kind of key catalysts for me last year that really changed things for me.
Yep, so basically what we're talking about is by going against the grain, it's like getting in a big group, exclusively men, you know,
yep,
sharing certain experiences, and you start to open up gradually over the weekend without booze, like you say. You know, we all used to go to the pub maybe on a Friday, Saturday night. You know, it gets to 1 a.m. and you start to open up and vent about how you feel and, you know, what way you want to take direction in your life, etc. But it's hard to do that maybe in the everyday, and maybe it's no for the everyday, you know what I mean? Maybe it is for these certain times, these certain places with certain people with a certain mindset, because it's no, you know, it's no seen as the normal. We kind of just go about, or at least it's, we're taught that we kind of just go about opening up, you know, letting others know that we've got dreams and aspirations and that we want to better ourselves. But I think the more that becomes apparent that you want to move in that direction in life, gives you a bit of purpose, fills you with a bit of meaning, you know. It makes you want to get up out your bed in the morning and move towards something. So see if that makes other people feel uncomfortable. I think, you know, let them feel uncomfortable. What do you think about that?
Well, I always say that there's a stigma attached to people, like you say, speaking about goals and dreams, and when you put yourself out there and you really try to do a wee bit better for yourself, you do get judged. And society has kind of brought us up where if somebody steps outside the circle, then they automatically try and bring that person back down. And to get back on what you just said there, I've done a lot of personal development over the last kind of 12 months, and I've spent copious amounts of money. Some people would think it was off my head, but I see that as an investment. And that weekend itself, 14, 15 guys going away, probably no one or twos, all going into the one kind of area, secluded in Glencoe, and really just all getting on, getting to know each other, getting to know why they're all there, what you're looking to get for the weekend. It's really a breath of fresh air and something that I would be a big advocate for moving forward, because there's not enough yet. And we're taught growing up that men are strong, men shouldn't they show emotion, men shouldn't they talk about things, alpha males, all this kind of stuff. But really, we're all people at the end of the day, and we're all people that a problem shared is a problem solved, you know, in my book anyway.
Like you say, with this whole idea of the alpha male, the idea, you know, I'm drawn towards people, mate, that, you know, want to be truthful in a sense, that want to, you know, let me know they've got flaws. Let's not bullshit each other here. Let's not beat about the bush, you know what I mean? Let's not pretend that we've all got it, like, sorted. We're all cushy. It's not the case. It's never the case. It never has been for anybody, and I don't think it ever will be. But, you know, I think there's something strong. There's something, like, energetic. Like, there's a positive, like, magnetic pull almost to when people start. And I think that's why you end up, you know, in different groups. Maybe you start to move away from, you know, the group that you once associated with, that maybe a lot of, you grew up with a lot of people that just, you know, they're no vying for the same things in life that you are. They don't have the same mindset, mentality. And if you keep them around, it's only really going to, you know, and it's hard to break ties at some at points, you know, because you do form close friendships, relationships. But ultimately, I think when you start to look at the bigger picture, you have to choose. And I think that weekend was like us choosing. Like you say, maybe only know 2 of the 15 guys that were there. But see, once we were there, you felt there was something. You know, there's a reason 50,000 people flock, or 40,000 people flock to Ibrox, Parkhead, wherever it might be, every weekend. Because there's something about that, where everybody's sort of in the same energy field, and they want the one goal, you know what I mean? They're watching their team, they're supporting, they feel part of a group, united in some sense. And I think that's quite relatable to that.
Yeah. I don't think there's enough of it, personally. No mainstream anyway. The cold water stuff, I mean, some of the responses I was getting through social media, what the hell are you doing, sitting in puddles again, and you're jumping in rivers, and that just clarifies the message. And like you say, I've been through a bit of a journey myself in the last 12 months, and I kind of gained a lot of weight 2 years prior, and blew up to 25 stone. Now, for a 6'5" guy, that doesn't seem as what you would think it is. But yeah, you're unfit, you're unhealthy, and you think you need to live a certain way because society thinks, like, you're drinking every weekend, you're staying up late, you're growing benders, and you know what? I'm not against it. But it came to a point in my life where I thought, I need to change. I need to change. And like you say, it's very difficult when you grow up with a certain group of friends and even family where they know you as the guy that does X.
Yeah.
But you stick your head out and you say, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. I want to change. I need to change.
It's an indoctrination of sorts, you know what I mean? We don't really know much better. We grow up, we see everyone around us who are older than us. They do it. We just emulate them. It's like, you know, it's hard to break that cycle in a sense, but you, like you say, there, like, you're not against it, but I don't think you need to be against it. And I think this is the biggest fucking problem, you know, or one of the biggest problems. Excuse the F-bombs, you know, I dropped them. I get a wee bit, like, passionate about this sort of stuff, but you don't have to be against it for society, or see if it's working for somebody, then fair enough. And if that's the way you want to live your life, fair enough. But I think too often, like, me and you have probably been in that situation, right? And then eventually, you know, let's get a bit woo-woo here. When you talk about, like, waking up and becoming enlightened, you do in a sense, because you realise you know, I wasn't really setting out every weekend to go and keep doing these things over and over again. I was basically just sort of like walking like a zombie through life and just, you know, ending up there. And once you sort of become aware of what you're doing and how you're acting and how the actions like bleed into the next week, you know what I mean? You're out in a 2-day bender, like, it takes you a week to recover now, easily, you know what I mean? Kind of think straight, whatever it might be. And once you wake up to that, like, then the onus is on you, you know what I mean? You've got responsibility. If you keep doing that, you're just going to let yourself down and burn away precious lifetime, basically.
Well, that's it. You're saying that, for me, the easiest way to describe it is like being on autopilot every weekend, every week. You go to work, I work hard, and then I think I should reward myself on a Friday. And that Friday would lead into a Saturday, and sometimes it would be the Saturday to Sunday. But you didn't know any better, because you thought getting into work in the Monday morning was acceptable to be a bit under the weather, to have a bit of brain fog, to not be quite clearly thinking, to hurry up, let's get the shift done, let's get up the road and get to bed early, because I never get enough sleep at the weekend.
Yeah.
And like you say, you take a step back and you think, what am I doing? What the hell am I doing here? And for me, it was, I want to build a business. I want to build a community within what I do in my industry, and I want to inspire younger people in. But that wasn't congruent with how I was acting in the Saturday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So yeah. For me, I was leading like a double life. And I know that you can't, you work hard, play hard, all this bollocks, but there's got to be a happy medium in there somewhere. You've got to have the balance, and I don't know anybody that has got that balance yet. It's either one or other. There's no in between. But I know that I would rather be healthy, happy, and building something which I'd love to leave an imprint on in the industry in years to come than what I would living for the weekend, essentially.
Yeah, also, like, you mentioned, like, playing hard there as well. It's like, play as fucking hard as you want, you know what I mean? Just play your own game, you know? You don't just play into this idea and into this place that you've ended up, you know, you can change the game whenever you want. Just because you feel like this is what, you know, most people around me are doing, or what most people who sound like me, look like me, come from where I come from, that's what, like a lot of that's cultural. But as soon as you, so, like, how is playing hard at your own game, like, you know, like you said, investing in yourself. Yeah. Like, there's enjoyment in that, surely. Just as much enjoyment as you would get on, like, a weekend bender or something. But suddenly when you start to wake up and realise that actually one of them's serving me much better than the other one, you know? And then it's down to you to choose which one you go ahead and continue doing over time.
Exactly. It's when you look back and you connect the dots, you think, what the hell was I thinking? What was I thinking back then? And like you say, I took up hill walking just purely as something that took me away from the hectic Monday to Friday. My takeaway before that was alcohol.
Yep.
But then I hill walked, and then I climbed Ben Nevis for charity. I then climbed Ben Lomond. And before you know it, I'm climbing all these Munros and local hills, and we're doing the cold water stuff. And I was feeling a lot better for doing all that stuff. It was improving my health, my fitness, vitality. It was an absolute no-brainer. And then you're thinking, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm Mr. Healthy or that. I mean, there's some, obviously, sometimes I still have a drink in that, but
of course,
I must admit, I could probably count in one hand how many times I've drank in the last 8 months, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The year prior, I could count in one hand how many times I hadn't drank every weekend.
Yeah. And like you say, like, doing the hill walks, you know, it doesn't, I think we often, like, maybe we think that it needs to be for everyone, you know what I mean? I need to do this and I need to get approval. Like, I need folks sliding in the DMs saying, that looks so cool, man, that all that hill walking you're doing, you know? But we're getting, you maybe get people, like, a bit suspicious of, like, the cold water stuff. It's like, does that really matter? Like, you don't need to climb the hills to become a professional hill climber. You don't need to do it to seek approval, validation, anything like that. Like, see when you get to the top and you get back down, see if you feel better. It's a no-brainer, like you say.
There's no better feeling. And for me, when I'm climbing a hill, I'm not a good hill climber. My fitness is average at best.
Actually better. Because you're so in the moment. I remember, mate, when we were away that man cave weekend, right? Honestly, and I thought I was quite fit. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, I'm going to say it's got something to do with the smaller legs, right? As the smallest guy in the group.
Oh, brilliant.
At least one of the smallest, right? But, I mean, 3/4 of the way up the hill, you know, this mode activated in my mind where there was no thoughts about the past, no thoughts about the future. You know, I was just saying left foot, right foot. That was it, man. Because I wanted to get to the top of the hill, but I was completely in the moment, completely in the zone, you know, absolutely spent physically. But I was like, a lot of yous were already up there. And I'm like, I'm going to see this view. Like, no matter how long it takes me, I'm going to go up and I'm going to get there. And it's a fulfilling experience, you know. I think hill walking sort of resembles life in a sense, you know what I mean? And it gives you a wee taste for how many times do you overcome that inner voice that just tells you to stop, man. You know, see if it's a long hill, you know, let's say a 4-hour stint or something like that, 3-hour stint, like an hour 20 minutes in, and you're like, I can't go. But then you move forward a bit, 2 hours in, you're like, I could just ski up now. But you keep moving and eventually you get to the top. And then that's a wee bit of an experience that you can take into something else in your life.
Exactly. And like you say, the hill walking thing for me, it's me versus me on the hill. It's my view of the hill and how long it's going to take me or how I feel when I get to the top. Now, I'll give you a little background and story on that. I climbed Ben Nevis last year with one of my good friends, Sean. And leading up to it, I climbed Tinto in January. Now, I know you think Tinto, right? I know it's only a wee hill. But I struggled, but I done it.
Yeah.
Because I done it in my shorts in January, I thought I was the man. I thought Ben Nevis would be a skush cake, right? So I only bought training until April. And me and my other good mate, Davey, we went up there in April, and I'm no word to lie, I'm ashamed to this day, we turned back 20 minutes in because we were so fucking unfit. Now, that was a kind of point for me where I thought, right, I need to get it together here. Because one, I'm doing Ben Nevis in the summer for charity. So, they're on me for the charity and I'm not going to fail, like you say. And I did, I trained, I lost a lot of weight for it. I wasn't at my best in Ben Nevis, but I was a lot better prep than I was in April.
Yeah, and so was that the Ben Nevis you say you tried it the first time, turned back 20 minutes later? And
that was Tinto. Tinto, I turned back.
That was Tinto. right. Okay. So hey, it's a good starting point. You know what I mean? There's a lot of progress potential there. But look, I can actually relate so much to that story because I think this might have been 2 or 3 years ago. And I've seen myself. Look, I played football all my days. You know what I mean? I've always like been pretty decent at sports and had a pretty decent level of fitness. Yeah. And I actually climbed Ben Nevis, I think it was 3 years ago, and I was overweight, you know, I'd let myself go, I was drinking, smoking, eating crap, just no exercising enough, sitting about all day, pretty depressed at times in the past, and I never made it, you know, and it was Ben Nevis, and I hadn't done a lot of hill walking, but I thought I was only maybe 20, 21 at the time, or between 19 and 21, and I was like, you know, normally I can push through. Like, normally I'll push through. I couldn't. I made it probably 20 minutes to half an hour off the top. And I couldn't do it. And it was that point where I was like, just like you, it was a wake-up call, man.
Yeah. No, definitely. It's easy to fall into that trap because, like I say, we climbed Tinto in January and I thought, this Ben Nevis will be a piece of piss. And anyone that climbs any sort of hill or familiar with them, Tinto's a little warm up the park compared to Ben Nevis, you know what I mean? It's a third of the kind of length and duration to climb it. And for me, in April, I thought to myself, right, I need to put my neck out here and go against the grain, like you say. Like, don't go out every weekend, sit in, eat healthy, go on my walks, train twice a day. I actually done a challenge, Andy Frisella's 75 hard, and I can honestly say between that and the Man Cave weekend last year was the catalyst for me changing.
Let's go into that a wee bit then, actually. Let's say if anybody doesn't know what 75 hard is, Scott will give you a wee insight, because I heard them speaking about this challenge that he was doing, and you know, it was a lot to do with mental fortitude as well as, you know, physical fitness, and you know, just developing good habits, good routines, and pushing yourself. So, let everyone know what the 75 Hard is.
So, I started following a guy called Andy Frisella on Instagram probably about a year ago, and I knew he brought this program out. Now, it's not a fitness program, it's not a weight loss program, it's a mental toughness challenge.
Yeah.
And that is what it is. So, I looked at it, and I'll be honest, like everything, had a look at it, started it, failed, started it, failed. But what it did do, it started building up these wee small habits. So even though it was failing, because the challenge is solid. So the challenge, to put into context for anybody listening, you could do two workouts per day, 45 minutes indoors and 45 minutes outdoors. So for me at the time, that was easy. I thought 45 minute walk outdoor and a 45 minute gym session.
Yeah.
That was pretty straightforward. But if you didn't run your day or your day ran you, that's hard for any MD.
Certainly. I mean, you sleep for how much, like 8 to 9 hours or 7 to 9 hours, you know, and you don't have that much time left to play with. So if you've not got everything else planned out, like it's an hour and a half, just workouts.
So you've got that. You've got a gallon of water per day, which for the average person is quite a lot.
Yeah.
Me being a wee bit taller and obviously at the time bigger, I drank a fair amount of water, but even a gallon was a lot for me. The game-changing stuff for me was the reading. I love the thought of reading, but the only time I read, to be honest with you, was on holiday. And everyone likes a good book on holiday, and they probably pick up and read it, and then it comes back and never gets seen again, and then you dust it off again. So you do 10 pages per day reading. So that meant you were going through maybe a book a month, maybe two.
Nice.
On knowledge that you never ever had any inclination or knowing or really stuff that you dived into before because you didn't read. So it was all new to me. So the challenge for me, as I say, you had to, the reason it was so challenging is that you had to plan your day, you had to plan your week, plan your workouts, plan your meals. There's no cheat meals at all, nothing. It's got to be clean eating, good food for 75 days straight.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because when you say it, it doesn't sound that much until you try it. I tried it myself, actually, but I'm not afraid to say it. I never actually stuck it out, and I never went back to it. This was, I don't know when this was, but I stumbled across it. I don't think I put enough preparation into it. You don't realise how much you need to actually prep. And I wasn't keeping my journal or anything like that at the time. So like you say, it's easy to just miss one thing one day, and that's you fail the challenge, am I right?
Of course.
Can't fail anything.
It doesn't matter if you're on day 74 of 75 and you don't get the workout in, you're going back to day one if you don't hit the targets. And for me, people can say they've done it, people can say that they've failed, or people can say they've passed it, but the only person they're lying to is themselves, and they need to live with that. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I failed it 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until after Christmas I passed it. And then obviously we came into an absolutely bizarre situation in the world where gyms closed, and I thought to myself, how the fuck am I going to complete this? Because my gym workout is taken away from me.
Yeah.
And I managed to go in and still grind out home workouts plus my daily walk. So I still managed to get it done.
So you managed to go the whole 75 days. Yeah. What would you say was the biggest couple of things you learned for that, or the biggest lesson you learned in those 75 days?
I guess the lesson I learned for me is that people look for change and drastic change. You're never going to get that.
But that, man,
you will get change if you every day do some small incremental actions and habits, and the effect of compounding, just like money with interest. Over time, these 75 days, by the end of it, I was a different person, mentally, physically. Like Andy says, the challenge is mental toughness, and I was in a different place altogether.
Yeah, I don't know if, just with the terminology that you used there, I don't know if you've read, probably, in your 75 Hard, Atomic Habits by James Clear.
I've listened to the audiobook, amazing.
Yeah, I'm actually currently listening to the audiobook as we speak. I'm only a couple of chapters in. But yeah, that's what is just evident. You know, I got to the part in the book where he was describing you know, how the British cycling team went about basically transforming themselves. And, you know, something just struck a chord with me, and it just felt like that's so true. Like, if you just start, like, nothing's trivial, you know? Anything you do every day can't be trivial. So it doesn't matter how small it is. It doesn't make it insignificant, you know, if you're going to be doing it for the rest of your life. And then, like he says, the process is the important part.
Yeah. 100%.
The process is going to dictate the direction that your life takes, basically.
Certainly, there's a lot of things out there, and I'm guilty of it myself, where people are looking for the quick scheme or the quick get-rich thing or the quick weight loss thing, and that's not out there. It's out there if you want it, but it's not sustainable. And for me, that's where I was looking initially for some quick movement in my weight or quick weight loss. But the challenge for me, like I say, it was rituals every day, and they were non-negotiable at the end when I did complete it. And to this day, I'm actually, there's another kind of part of the challenge that Andy runs, there's another two or three parts, so I'm looking at that just now, but I'm actually waiting to the gym zone because I like lifting my weights, whatever else. But for me, my non-negotiables now is a gallon of water, 10 pages of a book, I still do this to this day, and also my daily walk. And for me, I can't not do them anymore because it's ingrained in me. And I think if I don't do that, then I'm not going to perform at my best.
Talk about your daily walk. Do you structure that at the same time every day or just whenever you can get it in?
Typically, it's every night after I come home from work.
Right.
To the point where I've got a good architect that stays in their estate, and I know him vaguely, but
yeah,
you know me now because I'm out walking at the same time every night.
Which
is quite cool. But every night, for me, that's the bit where I feel good after it. It clears my head because during the day, it's just chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos in a good way. There's so much going on. You're dealing with different people. You're dealing with different suppliers, contractors. And for me, that's my getaway. I do an hour of personal development in that hour walking.
So what do you do? Are you listening to audiobooks? Or are you listening to podcasts when you're walking? Or are you just walking like the old natural way?
No, I don't go anywhere now walking without my headphones.
Yep.
I'm going to put my neck out and say, I'm a snob, I've got Dre Beats headphones, but you know what? They're amazing. I love them.
These Bose headphones, game changer, man. Worthwhile investment, you know what I mean? I've had these on my head more than I've not had them on my head, let me just say that. Which might not be good for the Bluetooth. That's a conspiracy theory path, but we'll no take.
I probably jumped between podcasts and that, but the last 12 weeks I've been focusing on a coaching program which I'm part of. Personal development. The guy is Bob Proctor. He's an American genius, if you ask me. And really gets you thinking, like you're saying. It gets you to take a step back and think, what do I really want? Am I happy and what am I doing? Is it fulfilling me? And there's that hour every day where you're self-reflecting. Another thing I do is journal. And like we said at the start, there's that thing out there where people go, journal's this and journal's that.
To do just that. Got myself one, Scott, mate. I must say that I know there's many people out there that journal, but I just knew that it was part of your daily routine. And, like, honestly, for the first time I met you, I came up to you in the gym one night and I says, like, you're looking great, man. You know, I seen a change in energy. The reason we've got you on the podcast, you know what I mean? Because that's, to me, look, you don't need to be in the front page of a magazine or be an A-list celebrity to have an abundance of worth to give to other people. And change and being able to change and be able to give off a different vibe and be able to turn around bad habits and just, you know, start to make positive change and better yourself in life, man. That's the shit I dig, I must say. So, aye. I will say you played a part in me getting that journal, you know, and really, and I used to do it, but I would say, like, even, and I think that's the positive benefits of social media in a sense. There's a lot of negatives, but you know, see if I go into your story one day and you're out a walk, sometimes it reminds me to walk, you know, if I've not done it, or if I see you're maybe journaling or this book or that book, you know, and I think that's the positive is surrounding yourself, you know, with the right people, following the right people, with the right ideas, basically.
Certainly, as I said, I wasn't a person that put herself out on social media a year ago. I wasn't a person that believed in networking.
Yeah.
Because your fear of being judged. Now, for me, putting a post on Facebook is fucking massive. Because your fear, the way society is, will end they like it, will end they comment, will end they share it. Fuck what everybody thinks.
That's the stage you need to get past.
You know what I mean? And yep. I'm just finishing a book now, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And it couldn't be any more truer for where I've went in the last few months. If one person takes away anything for this podcast or what I put on my Facebook and my stories, then I'm fulfilled because yep. One person more I've helped or reached out to. And like yourself, when you're doing this podcast, it's all for the greater good and to help other people. To show them what's out there, to help, to motivate, to inspire. That's where I'm at now.
So, going back to the journal, how did you start to incorporate that into your day, and what sort of impact has journaling had?
Journaling for me started probably around about New Year. And I was given a journal at Christmas by my sister, and she says, I got you a journal because you're into that shite.
I love that the wee backhanded compliment / dig.
And I thought, what? She actually means really well with that, and I love it. Yeah. I've got it right here in front of me.
Awesome.
The journal's laid out perfectly because it gives you three things every day that you're grateful for. Now, straight away, when I wake up in the morning and I write them down, I actually write 10 down on a bigger A4 pad I've got. Straight away, you're into a different vibration. Straight away, you're happy. You're thinking positive. You're probably the highest you'll be how you feel every day because you're bringing things to the forefront of your mind that you're happy about. Family, friends, clients, customers, the team. Everything is at the forefront. Your health, your fitness, my journey over the last 12 months. Yep. The lessons I've learned, I'm grateful for them. I don't see them as failures, it's lessons.
And that's something you can directly influence, you know what I mean? If you don't have the journal there, if you don't have the intention, like it would be easy to roll up out of bed and start to just ruminate on all the worries you have, because I think that's where our minds tend towards unless you consciously intervene.
Well, the easiest way to say that is we're all programmed to find the negative in every situation, right? So see what that says. See if I put a post up and I get 30 comments, all positive, and I get one bad one, the human brain will go towards the negative and go for it.
Yeah, it's fascinating and it's troublesome. It's troublesome. But once you become aware of it, you start to learn more about it. Sure. I think that's almost like a superpower, man, when you start to, I don't know if you've listened to any of the sort of stuff that Gerald Neal's been putting out recently from Dynamic Creations. I don't know if you've seen any of that. Yeah, so he talks a lot about that, and it's absolutely fascinating. But back to the journal, the 10 things that you're grateful for.
Wait, grateful for is the first thing, so that gets me in a high vibration. That sets my intention for the day. It reminds me of where I am and where I've come from and where I'm going. And then I've got affirmations, usually between 8 and 10, and that's just the I ams. Now, people call it woo-woo shit, whatever you want to call it, and we spoke about this at the last Man Cave catch-up. When you're saying I am, so for example, I've got them before this call because like Andy, it's my first podcast, I was nervous. So I've got, I am enough, I am a role model, I am inspiring, I am confident. And these things just set your body, and they're so simple, but they relax you. Another one is, I'm coming from a place of service. So this isn't about me, this podcast, this is about the people listening. And that's the way that I've come into this, and it's the way that I go into everything in life. But if I get out to see a client, I'm there to serve them. This isn't about me. I'm there to help them provide a service. So we've got the affirmations, and then I've got today's tasks notes. So some people could call that a to-do list. I've got is maybe ask myself three questions. Was I happy with how my day went the day before? What's my intention for the day? And what do I really want? Like really want, not just what do I want for the day, what do I really want in life? And answer that every day. And if I review that, the great thing about journals, you can go back. If I review that and I'm not happy with how my day went or what I'm wanting, then I know I need to change it. I need to tweak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's great because it's thought-provoking. And I was actually listening to another podcast with Robin Van Persie, and he was talking about his time at Arsenal. He said that, keep questioning yourself every day. Just keep being inquisitive. Not saying, oh, that's right or that's wrong. Just being open-ended and thinking, right, what if? Am I happy right now? Am I happy where I am? Am I happy where I am in life? We always want to do better and be better. That's just human nature. But am I really happy? And then to finish, it's great things that happened to me today. Just in a box. Now, the journal's all laid out for me like this. It's not as if I've wrote all this. It's perfect. So every day you sit at night, and like you say, when you wake up in the morning, you're thinking sometimes negative things, but you're going to bed at night and you're writing down what was great. And again, your vibration's at its highest. So you're going to bed with positive thoughts. Now, I know some of my mates laugh at me and whatever else. My girlfriend was even kind of thinking, what the hell is he smoking when he went on the journal stuff? But you're waking up and you're a different person. You're going to sleep, you're a different person. There's no coincidence the way that things have changed for me is just through luck. It's through rituals. Now, the journal...
That's the strange thing, isn't it? That it kind of saddens me in a sense that people might feel... too judged, too embarrassed, you know, to, what are you doing? You know what I mean? You're going back to a journal, you're reflecting on your day. Like some people might go through life never reflecting at all, just ending up where they end up, you know, just just bobbing through life, whatever hits them, they just rebounds them into the next phase and they don't really know what direction they're aiming for, they don't have any goals. Their day just happens. They do what they've always done because that's how we are. If we don't like use the higher part of our brain and intervene on a daily basis, you know. And journaling is funny in that sense. Like you could do it once a week. Let's say you could do it in like a sun. It wouldn't work. Like we need to constantly refine and grow, and that's where this idea that we were talking about earlier, a quick fix, you know, the magic pill, the overnight success, like, what we really need to do is just understand that that's unavailable, you know. It's a long process, it's the long game, and it's daily, you know. So maybe don't even think about it in the long sense. Just think, tonight I'm going to journal. And then in the next morning, I'm going to journal. Don't think about journaling 3 weeks down, just every day. And it is a bit grindsome, you know. But when like you form the habit, once you form the habit, it starts to preserve itself. And that's the great thing about us. And look, if you feel better, you feel like your life's more in order, you know, what would a couple of folk think you're a dafty? You know what I mean? What would that matter, really?
You know, it's like when you go to the gym. When you go to the gym and you lift weights, you're working your muscle, and your muscle builds fibers to get stronger for the weight. So you lose weight. But nobody seems to do that with their brain, or nobody seems to do that with their thinking.
Yep.
So for me, when I'm asking myself these questions, I'm flexing the muscles in my brain every day, and I'm thinking, like you're saying, I was going through life reacting to everything, like you're saying, bobbing about, and just my day ran me. But now I'm getting into life with an intention where I want to know how my day's going. I set an intention that I'm going to have a great day today. I'm going to have a phenomenal day. I'm going to get some great news. I'm going to get a few wins for the team. And we're all happy. Doesn't always work like that. We know that. But if you set an intention and you look for the good in every situation, because there's always good. The law of relativity is there's always good and there's always bad. It's how you look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, perspective is a, you know, it's a game changer if you start to not, like you said earlier, see the failures as just constant negatives, you know. It's only really a negative if you start to attach negative thoughts to it. You know, if you use it, like the amount of times I've failed in my life is unbelievable. But, you know, I would say, like, coming into this lockdown, like, there was a point a couple of weeks into it, like, it was really rough and tough, man. Like, I don't do well when things aren't structured. I don't do well when I don't have a routine, you know, and like things got really tough. But then on the at the end of that is basically where we and I told myself, you know, I remember speaking to my co-host who's not here tonight. We decided that I was just going to do this one because I know yourself better and Andy had been working all day. But I told him, I says, you know, I'm not going to fret over this. I says, I've been in these places before and, you know, at the other side of it, normally there's something good comes of it. So I think a wee bit of acceptance is tied into all that. And, you know, and no just beating yourself up because, you know, you failed. Because see, when you start out in this process, I mean, I can imagine that it wasn't all plain sailing, you know what I mean? You weren't journaling every day. I can imagine that you failed many times, probably.
And even to this day, I mean, I'm going to sit here and say that I'm journaling every day and I don't eat crap or I don't have the odd beer. We're only human.
Yeah.
We do fail. And I grew up thinking that failure was bad, so you would play it safe. And I actually recall a time when I was an apprentice and my tradesman had said to me at the time that we used to get a report card and he actually wrote on it. And for some reason, to this day, it still rings in my head, was that I was more than capable, but I wasn't showing enough confidence and that would be in the back. And that was because your feet are doing something, making a mistake. Because you're an apprentice, you think, oh no, I can't make a mistake. The tradesman will go off his head, I'm not getting another chance. And fuck that. You know what I mean? I want to feel every day and feel big because I know that at the end of that, there's good. There's a good lesson in it.
Yeah. I read something in the, I don't know if you've read the book or listened to it, The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, yeah. There was a line in that and it said, don't ask for permission, just do and then later ask for forgiveness. And it was like, that makes a lot of sense, you know. You know, just, we all make mistakes, but if you're trying various different things, like, you're constantly going to fit, like, you're going to find eventually what works for you, what you're good at, and where, what makes you feel good as well. I think that's another important thing. It's like, I don't know if this, I think maybe the materialistic notion of the society we live in serves to, like, sort of create this mindset that, you know, if everything looks good, you know, kind of superficially, then everything should be good. But, I mean, look at some of the top celebrities, the richest folk in the world, the people who, for the outside looking, for the outside looking towards them, they look like they've got it all sorted, they've got the flashy things, the big houses. Inside, they're no happy. I think, like, we should stop, like, trying to maybe pursue that materialistic wealth and the things that look good and start to do the work for the inside out. And that's like a philosophy I've sort of been living by. And I imagine, you know, it's much the same for yourself, because if you don't sort the shit that's inside you, you don't sort this, you don't sort the thoughts that you attach to everything through life, it's going to be pretty difficult to navigate, you know. It's going to be pretty difficult to work through when things fail because when things fail, if you don't, like, if you haven't done the work inside yourself and on your, the way you think and your perspective, you're just got ultimately going to start playing the victim, start to see the negative in every situation. Then you're not going to be a good person to be around, you know.
Exactly.
How are you going to run a successful business if that is how you are and that's how you put yourself together?
Exactly, and that takes me back to we were spoken about gratitude. I mean, I'm going to put my neck out here and say it probably 12 months ago, over a year ago, that I struggled to find things I was grateful for, because you're always thinking of the next move or the next job, the next win, and sometimes when they come and you think, you know what, there's people a lot better off, and then going to social media, Instagram especially, and it's the perfect lifestyle, it's the boats, the guy parting his boat in a boat, the Lamborghinis, the houses. I'm not going to lie, I love material things as much as the next guy. At the end of the day, this that knows me will know that, but there's a shift there where you think, there's a lot going on in my life that's good, that I should be very grateful for. And like you say, rather than being the person that's negative and always miserable, people don't like that. Some people do, they gravitate like that. But when you're happy and you're giving off a bit, I'll go back to vibrations because it's massive for me now. And like energy attracts like, for me. And we've actually introduced somebody into our team this week because he likes what I'm doing, he likes my values, he likes the energy, he likes the way I'm doing things. So that's attracted him. I'm really excited to get him on board. But like I say, for now, there's 10 things every day that I'm looking at and thinking, you know what, I'm so happy where I am and what I'm doing. It's not to say that I'm fully satisfied, because you're always wanting to grow, but you've been present.
Yep, so let's touch on now the fact that you're, you know, a business owner in a sector that, let's maybe say, a lot of people in that sector might not think it'd be valuable to maybe pay attention to mental well-being and physical well-being. How you try to merge, you know, and what benefits have you seen since these lifestyle changes, and how's that impacted your business and your work life? And do you agree with the first statement that I said? Because that could be completely out of line.
Oh, not at all. So for anyone that's listening, I've got my own stone masonry company, and it's essentially in construction. Now, Kieran's spot on what he says. Construction's got a big stigma attached to it where you don't talk, you don't show you're upset, you don't show your feelings, you crack on mate, you take shit, you move on, you get through a lot of stuff in construction, and days the same. Now, when I started going through the changes, I mean, if any of the guys are listening to us that work with me, they'll obviously be thinking, what's Scott, what's he doing? Because it's totally, nobody in construction, not nobody, but very, very few people in construction, I believe, are into careers in development. They don't see me.
Thank God, man, because I thought, like, I had honestly, I just assumed that, you know, like, a few of my family members are in construction, you know, and I'm looking for, I've worked on a construction site before myself, and I'm looking for the outside in, and I came to that conclusion. And not to be judgmental, you know, I'm just saying what I see, and it's interesting that you're taking a different direction.
Well, people say to me, like, well, I do videos, walk-rounds and that, and I'm not going to lie, I don't like being in front of the camera, but you know what? It's not about me, like I said earlier on, it's about the customer, it's about who out there could potentially be getting ripped off. If my video stops them getting ripped off and I get to help them, then I'm done my bit. I've stopped somebody getting ripped off thousands of pounds because construction's notorious for it. And people will say to me, oh, why are you advertising? Why you got a Facebook page? Why not relying on word of mouth? And I think, well, I want to be different. I want to be the contractor in my industry that is utilising what we have in front of us every day, social media, for the better, for the good. The ultimate goal for me is to have the business promoting apprenticeships, promoting younger generation into what is a dying craft.
Yep. Now,
stonemasons it's a craft which is seen by others as kind of an older man's game, and it is. So I'm trying to encourage more apprentices in it. That's the ultimate goal. I think every year there's 10 apprentices graduate as a stonemason from Glasgow. Now, you compare that to joiners, bricklayers, roofers, electricians, plumbers. It's astounding figures.
Yeah.
But like you say, going back to personal development, I go to England once a month when things are running normal. I go to England once a month to be part of a business mastermind. And I just know when I say to certain people, they look at me and they go, what the hell are you doing down there? How much is a train costing you? How much is a hotel? How much is a mastermind? And I'll be honest, if you could tell them the real cost, they'll be thinking, what is he doing? Why is he spending that money? Because they see that as a cost, but I see that as an investment.
Yeah, they'll always ask you how much it costs you, but they'll never inquire about how much value you're gaining, you know. And that's just, you know, we grow up and we're not really, like, if we're not in some sort of financial industry, or we don't study finance, or we don't really delve deeply into, like, how money works. Like, if you buy, like a £30,000 car, you know what I mean? Automatically, it's worth less than that, like, as soon as you take it to the dealership. But if you pay £3,000 to go on a self-development course, like, maybe your earning potential after that course skyrockets, you know? Yeah. And but we don't think, it's a bit of a, you know, it's no particularly a rational thought. So it's thinking maybe sideways a bit, and something that maybe not a lot of people are willing to do.
Well, that's it. When you look on social media, you've got the cars, so people think you need to have the cars and keep up with the Joneses, as they call it. Like you say, you buy a car at 30k, the minute you walk out the showroom is 25. You spend 3 grand on a course, spend 10 grand on a mastermind. The return on that, you cannot place the return on that because you don't know truly the wee things that you're subconsciously picking up every month.
Yeah.
Actions, the people, the network, the return on that's infinite. You can't gauge that. I never see that as money spent. I see that as money invested. And it's just like that money will return in good time.
Yeah, it's also, it's like, not, it's not instant. Like, you don't walk out that mastermind course with something to show. Like, physically, you know what I mean? You don't have a certificate that's going to find you 10 employees at the end of the month, or, you know, or expand your business to 3 different other locations or whatever it might be. And nobody can see it, nobody can look at it. So nobody can really gauge its worth, its value. But if it holds value for you and you think it's like more than what you paid for it, in the long run, you know, it's interesting.
When I'm doing my journal, I'll ask myself, like, where was I a year ago, the type of person I was? Person that wouldn't post on social media, person that wouldn't do a podcast, person that wouldn't put their cell in front of a camera, person that wouldn't network. And I think, fucking hell, 12 months later, I don't recognise who I am. Now, I don't say this to brag, I say this to show others that if you really want something and it's a big enough why, you will do anything to change to become the person. And that's what I learned, was that I had to think, who do I want to become? Who do I need to be? What do I need to do every day to become the person I want to be? The rituals, the walking, the training. There's no shock or surprise that some of the most successful people in the world are fit, they're healthy, they've got trainers, they've got coaches coming out their ears, because they've never learned everything. They're always open to more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing that, I don't know if you read it, but I read the Science of Getting Rich by...
No, I've never read it.
It's only a small book, but there's so many things in it. And gratitude mentioned in it again. You've got Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. It took me 2 or 3 times to read that book to actually understand what the hell Napoleon Hill talks about, because I wasn't at that level to interpret that information. And even to this day, I still read chapters to try and familiarise myself with what is the message.
What would you say the message is? What have you took from it and grasped from that book now, and what has it taught you?
The biggest one for me has been decision. Make a decision. Don't bounce through life just reacting. Make a committed decision today to follow a goal and just go for it. Don't dabble in this, dabble in that. Just go for it. If you want to be, I mean, everyone's different. I used to think everyone wanted to be the best at what they want to be, but that's not always true. Some people are happy just doing what they're doing, and I 100% get that.
Yeah.
For me, I made a committed decision to change. That was the first one, to become healthy. Now, we always get timely reminders where your health is your wealth. And see, to be honest with you, we say it, but we get back to what we were doing. And then we get another reminder. Now, I'm not afraid to say it. Over a year ago, my granddad passed away. And for me, it was a massive, massive change in my life. It made me see, where am I? Where am I going? Would he be proud of the person that I was becoming? And that's when I started to change, because I wasn't congruent to what I wanted. Like I say, I was doing 2 different rabbit holes. Whereas I made a committed decision, I'm going to change, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to get healthy, I'm going to get fit, I'm going to do Tintal Hill, I'm going to do Ben Nevis.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just wee things.
I know how he's going to do me.
Exactly. So you do these wee wins every day. See the belief and the confidence you get, the self-belief, it's unbelievable. And you're at a point now where you've just come out, obviously, something which is unheard of, lockdown, as you mentioned earlier on, and you're coming out of there and you're thriving, you've got routines in place, which never happened straight away. It took a few weeks to come in.
Yeah.
But the community there, you're employing people at a time where people are sadly being made redundant. We're recruiting, we're growing, we're expanding, we're looking for our first premises. That's not just by chance, that's because the work was put in through the behind the scenes, whatever you want to call it. But ultimately, like I say, you need to make a decision. So you made a decision for this podcast to rebrand it, and now you're going for it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're just getting in the day-to-day and just surviving, as I call it, and I've done it for years, a number of years, and then I thought, I need to get out. I need to get out of this mindset.
You know, I'm fascinated with that as well, because I often look around myself, and you know, a lot of people that I've encountered and a lot of people I know just settled, you know, they just settled, but with what was, they didn't think, and I was one of these people, you know, I accepted that, you know, there was only probably so much I could do in order to change my life, you know. But I've had an experience, one of the most powerful experiences with regards to the power of thought and the power of the mind that I encountered was, so I missed a lot of high school through illness between second and fourth year.
Right.
And going into fourth year, in the back end of fourth year, I was highly motivated. I was listening to, like, all the time. I don't know if you've heard of the guy called Eric Thomas.
Yep, the hip-hop preacher.
Yeah, yeah. So I was listening to him and I was highly, highly motivated. And I was like, I need to get the best grades possible. I wasn't great at school, like, and I missed a decent chunk of school, like I say. I wasn't great, you know, didn't even wear a tie, didn't stick in. I was a wee bit of a Ned back in the day, basically, right? But then, like, something changed and I realised that there was potential to be realised that could be realised if, like, going a jog every day might help it slightly, but really getting your mind right. That was the title of my last blog post, funnily enough. Check it out at verityconnection.com. Getting your mind right and getting your mind working on your side and starting to tap into that potential that's there lying in the future, the potential possibilities that Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about, and you can manifest that. And people, you know, I know some people are like, what the fuck does he keep barting on about this? I'm like, because why wouldn't you want to do that? You know what I mean? Think of the other avenues that you could go down in life. Like, this, for all we know, might be the one chance we get all of this. So wouldn't you try and make it the best? Whatever that means for you. It doesn't mean you need to be the best. It doesn't mean you need to be rich, famous, well-known, or go down a certain path. But whatever it means for you to be the best, you feel the best, your relationships are good, you're a person that people want to be around, like, surely that's, you take that decision every day, but it requires commitment, it requires responsibility. It's no easy. You know, I bet there's times, like, you know, throughout the week, like, you often don't want to do this stuff, but, you know,
time's
it's
a
not really time. A question.
Time's a prime example. Up at 6 o'clock this morning, out the door, away into Glasgow, got in tonight at 6 o'clock, and I thought, I can't even ask on the walk. I can't, I've got a podcast at 8, still got to eat my dinner. But I done it. I got my 45-minute walk in. And you know what? I feel better for it. It got me hyped up for the interview for this. Had my dinner, and I'm going to bed tonight feeling, you know what? Discipline kicked in there. That I didn't want to do it, but I still did it. And that gives you the wee wins. That gives you the belief thinking, well, I can do that tomorrow again.
So, it's interesting when you talk about that, like the fact that something is simple. Because, you know, often, like, a lot of this self-development and this, you know, growing and progressing, it's not easy, but it can be simple, if you know what I mean. Like, you went for a 45-minute walk and it put you in a better headspace. That's simple. It's not easy because you have to commit to go on the walk. You know, it's easier to sit on the couch and watch an episode of something for 45 minutes. You know, and I was the exact same the day. I knew that I would perform better, and I look at this as a performance, this podcast, you know what I mean? I'm speaking the truth, but I don't want to be low energy, you know? I want to explore engaging topics, you know? And I know in order to do that, I can't eat 2 packets of crisps, you know, and lie back and play Call of Duty, like, for the hour before I come on. I had to hit the heavy bag, you know? get the endorphins flowing, because you can change your physiology. It changes how you think better, you're sharper. I took a cold shower, and these things matter. And I want to just like get that point across to people, because I used to be in the state where I just didn't, I was so nihilistic, mate. I didn't believe that anything had any meaning or any point, and life was a bit overwhelming. So I didn't think there was anything really that I could do in order to change how I thought and how I felt. But like you say, if you change how you think, and if you can change how you feel, and if you can change your physiology, if you can lose the weight, you know, if you can become fitter, then you are no longer that person that you used to be. You are a different person.
100%, mate.
And you're living more in accordance with, you know, what you feel is right.
What you want to be, where you, where you're asking yourself, what do I really want? You're moving towards that person every day, and I believe that everyone should be. Like you're saying there, physiology is fascinating along with the mindset. I know mindset's like the in thing at the moment on social media with courses and literature, and I'm all for it. But you need, like you say, you made a decision before you got into that bag tonight that you were going to get yourself in the best possible state. Now, one of the best speakers in the world, Tony Robbins, has got a ritual before he goes on stage to thousands of, tens of thousands of people, is a fucking trampoline he jumps on.
Yeah, seen that.
Because it gets himself at the highest possible state. I wish I knew all this years ago, but like you say, in certain industries, construction, people don't want to share these things. They want to keep them and think that they're sacred, but that's a scarcity mindset. You want to be living through an abundance mindset. And like you say, if I've got something that works for me, i.e. the journal, simple thing, but it works wonders, why would I not want to share that with somebody? It's an absolute no-brainer. Because if only one person gets better for that, then that's one person impacted from that simple sharing of knowledge.
Yeah, I think that comes from a place of, because I used to really be tied in with this mindset that in order for me to progress and for me to go forward, that I had to not drag other people down, but I had to get ahead of them. I don't think that's true. The world and all the opportunities and all the experiences that come with being alive are endless. So it's like you don't have to push other people down or push other people out the way in order to get to where you want to go. In fact, quite the opposite, ironically, as I sit here doing a podcast that's based on self-development and sharing different ideas. Because if I'm better, if you're better, if John down the road's a wee bit better, the world as a whole is a wee bit better. And how can that not be a good thing?
Exactly. You're sharing a message. Now, the message will resonate with some people more than others, but like you're saying, you're getting folk to thinking, all right, okay, I never thought of that, or I've not heard of that, I'm going to give that a try. And that's it. That's all it is. It's a thought-provoking exercise. The podcasts, I think, are phenomenal because you can touch anyone anywhere in the world with an audio file, with an audio book.
Yeah.
Like I say, if that can impact somebody positively, then I'm all for it.
Because we probably wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for other people sharing their wisdom. And I think when other people share their wisdom and their experiences with you, and it helps you to change and become more and become better, I think you almost feel, you know, that you need to then give back to others because you've realised, like, this was massive. Like, some of the podcast episodes I've listened to have sparked, like, me to have a completely different mindset, a mindset that I would never have had if it wasn't for that. And I'm like, that is powerful beyond measure, really.
It's very fulfilling. If you're sharing something with someone, that you're sharing a bit of your story or sharing an exercise or a habit or a ritual that you do every day, and see when somebody reaches out, and this is when it all really kicked off for me, when I go back to the social media where I didn't want to post that I was changing, I didn't want to post in my stories that I was going out 4 a.m., 5 a.m. walks when I really started it first. But see when people reach out and say, you know what, I wasn't going to do my walks today, I've not been to the gym in 3 weeks, and you've made me go. That's very fulfilling. And like you, if you're in the gym and you see somebody else and you're maybe not feeling quite good, but you see them, they're feeling good, that's infectious. I mean, yeah, energy, like I say, like electric attracts, you know, it's...
That's why going back to the wee story that I mentioned earlier about the time I bumped into you in the gym, and you know, I have this mindset, like some people probably think I'm a bit, you know, far gone. I don't care.
Exactly.
But you know, I didn't need to come up and say to you, here mate, you're looking good, you know what I mean? You're looking well. You've got a different vibe about you. You've lost a pile of weight, man. Keep going. But maybe you forced yourself to the gym that night, right? I don't know if you did, but maybe you did, right? And maybe that was your last straw and you had a shite workout and you didn't think you were progressing because you're looking in the mirror every day and you don't see any change. Nothing. You're fucking sick to the back defeat. Or, you know, nobody's mentioning it. You're putting in all this work and nobody's noticing it. And then, you know, Av says, here, mate, you're looking great. And then you're like, oh, fuck, this must be working, man. I'm going to keep doing this.
And that's the wee reminders that we get in life, that
yep,
if it's through someone commenting on a post, if it's through somebody interacting with me in a gym, and you're thinking, you know what, this is where I'm meant to be. This is what I'm meant to be doing. I'm glad I made that change. It's just like a wee reminder in the head, right, get the head down. And the days that you say, the days you don't want to train, the days you don't want to go the walk, they're the days that make the difference. Because it's easy to go and train when we're motivated and we've watched a workout, we're doing the Rock Johnson, fucking lifting his full gym. That's easy. But it's the days where you've had a hard day, you've got shit off clients, whatever it is, the team's not performed, something's went wrong, but you still go in there and you still demonstrate discipline. So you still work out to the best possible you can, even if it's not your best workout, but you're still giving it your best. And you know, you go home and sleep at night and go, you know what, I gave that effort today. It's just no day, but good days are coming.
Yeah, and that's a mindset shift, you know, that's takes a bit of doing to overcome. And another thing as well, because I used to be very regimented with regards to, like, if you don't get two workouts in a day, if you don't feel like working out, you need to do it, you need to push yourself. There's also something to be said about, you know, see if you miss it. If you miss it, what you don't want to do is start to let one missed workout session trigger those old thoughts and start to like light up that part of you that was dimmed out long ago, you know what I mean, and turn you back into your old self. Something to be said about like being a bit kinder to yourself, you know. You say that and be like, what the fuck does that mean? It means like, treat yourself the way you would treat your fucking wife or your girlfriend, man, you know? Don't be so hard on yourself. Treat yourself as if you were somebody you liked, cared about.
Because my partner, she says to me all the time, she says, you're so hard on yourself, and see if your best friend spoke to you the way you speak to yourself, what would you do? I was like, I'd get rid of them.
Yeah.
You're right. If it's a Saturday, if it's a Friday, and you know what, you've had a hard week, but you've been smashing it, and you get in and you just think, morning night, it's all right to give yourself a night off. But what you don't want to tell yourself and tell your own wee story is, it's all right to have the full weekend off, or it's all right to have a month off, because that's when you slip. Acknowledge that the night off, or whatever you want to call it, even if it's the weekend off, I'm not saying there's a right or wrong, everyone's different. I know, the way I ask myself is, one, do I want to go and work out? The answer's not always yes, but the one that always comes back yes, did I feel better for it?
Yeah.
It's always a resounding yes, always.
Yeah, that's interesting. And touching on that just before we'll wrap it up. That's been an hour and 15 minutes or something. But before we start to wrap up and stuff like that, let's talk about a wee bit about your new sort of venture into the health and well-being. I've seen your Instagram page. I don't really know much about what it is you're trying to do and what direction you're trying to take that, but I'm interested to get to know a wee bit about it, and maybe you can share it with some of the listeners.
Yep. Well, going through the journey I went through from last June, when I was in at Christmas time, I just finished 75 hard, I think it was the end of January, and the world's a funny way of working. I went to a networking event and I met a guy, a very good friend now, David Christie. And David Christie is a Herbalife distributor. Now, I know everyone listening, or the majority of people listening, will be thinking, fucking hell, here we go. And I was that guy.
Yeah.
But because of what I was going through and what I'm still going through every day, I'm trying to improve, I'm trying to be a better person, trying to be healthier, better, happier. I met David with a one-to-one, and he said to me about the opportunity to get involved with taking the products and on the programs. And like everything, there's a good, there's a bad, and there's an ugly. I chose to see the good.
Yeah.
So signed up, got on a program, and lost. Now, I'd already lost about 4 stone, 4.5 stone. In a very short space of time, I lost another stone. I mean, I thought I couldn't. I thought I'd maxed out, if you know what I mean, in plateaued. Never changed my workouts, but changed my nutrition. Changed what I was feeding my body, not just my mind this time. And the results were pretty impressive. And that was me. I was hooked. I'm quite addictive as a person. I have an addictive personality. If I see something that I like or something that works, I'll go down a rabbit hole with it, and that's me.
Yeah.
I'm all in. Always have been. And I think that's a good trait to have, but it can also be with a double-edged sword. Whereas if it's a bad habit...
Good trait if you direct it into the right stuff, man. Like,
exactly. I believe we've all got an addictive side of this. I believe everyone has. Some people, it's buying stuff on Amazon. Some people, it's buying makeup. Some people, it's drinking.
I mean, we have our built-in reward process in our brain to basically make us continue to do the things that make us feel good. So if we all definitely have that potential to become hooked or obsessed or addicted, it's the terminology. It's like addiction's always like viewed in a negative light, you know. So is it a lot of people will only really see addiction if it's related to something that's negatively impacting your life, you know. But you can just the same be addicted to the gym as well, you know, and you probably get the same sort of effects if you don't go to the gym, maybe as if you do if you take alcohol or drugs or something to that extent. But is it addiction, obsession, like you say, if you point it in the right direction, you know, and I think really just create an awareness, start to get to know how you function and really be consciously pointing yourself in the direction of the things you want to get obsessed with, you know?
Yeah, that's it. So going back to the health and wellness, I got results very, very quickly. Now, for me, I thought I had found something which changed me, my body composition, my energy. Because I'm not going to lie, when I was doing 75 hard, every day you were knackered. Because you're depleted, because you're literally leaving it all out on the day.
Yeah. I mean? Give me 1 second, just to flip the charger on this laptop.
No,
I'd flipped it off earlier because it was really, really hot. So, go ahead, sorry.
I found this thing and I thought, I need to tell people, I need to share this. But going back to the old me, I wouldn't have never done that because I would have been fear of being ridiculed, laughed at, judged, put myself out there. And to this day, I mean, I have conversations with people and I know people are out there saying things about it and that, but seeing the day, I couldn't give a monkeys about what they say because one, they don't pay my mortgage, they don't contribute in any financial way to my life. I do what I see fit, but more importantly, it's not to do with the money or that. With the health and wellness thing, there's people in my close circle, family, that have lost over 2 stone in weight because I've showed them this program.
Yeah.
Has changed their life.
It's powerful, man.
So that's fulfilling to me. I'm doing a disservice to people if I'm not telling, at least say to them, do you want to have a look at this?
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not asking you, I'm not trying to sell it. I'm not trying to do anything else. I'm just saying, do you want to look at it? It's up to you, your decision. I can only offer you. You've got to be open or closed to what you think about it. So that for me, it came at the right time because I was on a journey. I'm on a journey still, but at a time where I had lost all the weight and I knew where I was going and the type of person I wanted to be.
So you're just becoming a bit more invested in what sort of direction is this? So that I see the Instagram page. I'm just going to get it up right now, and you can let me know because I'm going to. You can do the screen share. This is the good thing about being on Zoom.
Sure.
And I'm pretty sure I have the pages up, just to share, and we can have a wee look. what we're talking about here. So can you see my screen when I share it here? Yep, the lovely looking website that is verityconnection.com. So folks, if any of you have made it this far or listening, then you have already discovered it, but come and check out the website. You've got the podcast section, the forum section, home, where you can find, well, this is the podcast section, but let me just navigate quickly to the home section where you can check out the blogs. And get. I was thinking as well, just before we check out your health and fitness page, like the forum, might be a good place where we could follow up with guests, maybe the week after, and if people, you know, want to ask some questions or go in, maybe someone out there's, you know, really, it's bugging them, they want to ask you something about how you've done X, Y, or Z in the business field or the health and wellness field, whatever it might be. And I think this adds something a bit different to podcasts where, you know, you can't really interact a lot. All you can do is really take the information, but if there's something that's nagging you and you would really like to interact with the guest or the host or whatever it might be, or you can just discuss the podcast and the ideas that have been talked about, you know.
It's a great idea. Website's
thank you. So let's take a look at the Instagram page. There we go. Obviously, I mean, this is a pretty recent venture. Did you say the start of the year?
Yeah, no, even that. We only started the Instagram page probably 6 to 8 weeks ago.
So there we go. Health, wellness, personal development, all the good stuff that we've been talking about. And you can check out Scott_Reed_UK on Instagram for anybody who wants to follow. And like he says, he's been putting out some new content. I'll just stop sharing that now so we can get back on the big screen. But you've been putting out some content and trying to work on your content game. And is that the sort of direction that you're planning on taking with the health and wellness? Are you got to try and incorporate that in?
Yeah. Truth be told, the health and wellness thing for me is something that I'm doing with close family right now, just to see how they got on with it, what they think, results.
Yeah.
Basically testimonials to see, right, what do you think? How did you find it? And then the ultimate goal for me is to really go big with it.
Yeah.
Build groups of people that are all pushing each other on to be the best version of themselves. And that's all I want, to be around people that want to be better, healthier, happier, and achieve whatever they want in life. And I'd love to be a part of that. Now, whether that's weight loss, whether that's toning up, whether that's body composition, I'm all ears, because the good thing about the venture with the health and wellness thing is that I'm there every step of the way. Now, some of my clients like to speak to me on a weekly basis. Some like to check in on a every other day basis for accountability. And that's what I always say, that the unique thing about the wellness venture is that it's not like a protein shake. You just go into Holland and Barrett, you pick it up off a shelf and you drink it.
Yeah.
When you're invested in they do 21-day programs, when you're invested in that, you've got an accountability partner or a coach there that, if you're struggling, I'm right here. Just reach out.
I think it's great.
Do you know what I mean? It's slow. But there's a stigma out there, and like I say, I was very opinionated about it before I get offered the opportunity, because there is a thing out there where, oh, Herbalife this, or you can see that with any diet fad.
Yeah, Oh, mate, don't get me started in the diet and nutrition industry, man. It's plagued with fucking con artists and scumbags. I'll not put it, you know, I'm not going to, like, I don't beat about the bush, man, but the great disservice to all the things that might actually work out there is that it's just plagued with just nonsense. But what you're doing, I like that more interactive model. You're not just saying, here's a protein shake, you know what I mean? How's that? I think it's more a lifestyle change that you're gearing towards there, and that's really something I can get on board with, you know what I mean?
It's powerful when you see people on your team that want to change, and you were in their shoes and still are in their shoes, and the energy, like you say, they give off. And one of my clients just now has lost eight inches from different parts of her body over the last 21 days.
Now, amazing.
She feels like a new woman.
Yeah.
What is there not to like about feeling like that? And giving, I see it as giving back as well, because I've got some form of knowledge that I want to share with people.
Yeah.
Why would I not want to share that? And why would I not want them to share that?
Exactly. And just before we wrap up, Pierre, you've almost touched on it just before we were, just when we were discussing that. But final question really is, what would you like to accomplish ongoing in life? What is it you would like to accomplish for yourself?
For me, it doesn't matter what industry it is. Let's just summarise it, because the two industries have got the same goal, essentially. It's, I want to build a community of people that want to be, do, and have better lives. I want to be a part of that, and I want to, in some shape, way, or form, help them in any way I can. I don't know how that is, because everyone's different in what they need, but I'd love to build a community of people that want to see what they're capable of and help them achieve whatever they really want to do in life. That's pretty much it.
Awesome. It's been great to have you here, Scott. It's been a wonderful conversation. I hope you've all enjoyed it. Thank you all for listening, and thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us, Kieran. Thanks for
Cheers. Your support.